Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Dhammang Sanghang Namassami. So I thought to just relate a little something from last trip to Thailand, just one aspect of it. So Thailand is a relatively poor country compared to England, of course, and not too bad, but not a wealthy country. So when one goes there, especially as a monk, then sometimes you get, sometimes you don't. And I thought I'd learn to accept this, and living in a small monastery in the countryside, you know, quite very basic food, and sometimes if things would run out, you know, you wouldn't get coffee or cocoa, would run out, or tissues, or, you know, you'd be drinking the rainwater, which occasionally would get, would be so pure, rather than bottled water or this kind of thing. If you accept all this kind of hardship, I was quite good at this, and it was manageable. I thought this is kind of it, is what it was about. It's been times previously, and this last trip, times when this my ability to let go would be seriously challenged, and I also realised just how far the practice can go, and how far it went with just common people living in Thailand, how far it had to go, actually, you realise that, you know, people are sick and don't have medicine, for example, and to me that's kind of, encountering examples of this, or me being sick and not being able to get any medicine, the right medicine, then there's something quite, that's almost unthinkable about it. It kind of stops the mind. What? What? But there aren't any antibiotics. What? Well, actually, in that case, you know, the essentials were looked after. If you could, the monks can get free medical care up to a point. Essentials, most of the time, you know, depending where you are. An example of when the rains came. A lot of flooding, not as bad as the previous year, but very, very heavy rain, heavier than I'd ever seen in my life. And it's like a shower coming down, and it's like a power shower. It's quite incredible. I've never experienced anything like it. And in this building, and the room next door, the water coming through the roof and flooding the room. So a good thing it wasn't mine. So part of me just couldn't quite believe this. I thought, well, this can't be happening. I mean, you know, the substantial building, this is supposed to be waterproof. It's kind of going through my mind, and it's kind of nonplussed by it. It was definitely happening. Although we can have, you know, ideas about, you know, you say, oh yes, I can understand that, you know, these things are uncertain and that these things can happen, but when it really happens, then either one can let go or struggle with it. I found, at times I found myself realizing, oh yes, well, I'm struggling with this. That's something I've not experienced before. You know, I have to really make an effort to let go on this. I thought this was, you know, this, at least the roof was could be good. Not necessarily the case. The water just came pouring through. And the abbot there was telling me how trees were falling all over Thailand, and sometimes they'd fall over onto people's dwellings, or people died. So quite a lot of this has happened the previous year. And I look out of my window, and there, behind me is quite a steep slope, a forested slope. I was looking at the trees, and I was thinking, well, yes, if this tree, and this very, very heavy rain, if that were to fall in this, that's probably big enough and heavy enough to go through the roof, and there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. Nothing I can do about it at all. Except let go. That's all I could do. Yeah, this is what the beauty of monastic life is. It's what it's designed for. And we see how our minds, we hang on to certain things and we get challenged. When I was first at Chittas Monastery, then I was just very new in the whole thing, and a friend of mine is quite clever, and he said, well, surely in this new environment, where there is not so many problems, it's just relatively stress-free compared to what you were before, working in hospitals, but surely don't the little things just become big things? Yes, he was right. I thought, well, yes, he's absolutely right. That's very astute of him. Yes, all the little things do become big things. Instead of having big stresses, the little stresses become big stresses to some degree. I gave an example to him, and I said, well, is this true? I can find myself at the breakfast time, there's this monk who would always just spoon all the nuts out of the muesli, pick all the nuts out, take all the nuts out, the most nutritious part of the muesli, pass the kind of porridge oats and the rest down the line. And I'd have found this very, very difficult. I just became very, very angry with this monk, how selfish he was to spoon all the nuts, take all the nuts out, the muesli. And I was sort of sitting there feeling very hungry that time, morning. So yes, this little thing, a few nuts, have become a huge thing in my mind. And yet the beauty of the monastic life is that I only had to give up a few nuts in order to find peace. But what I didn't realise, that a few years down the line, and then testing myself, I realised, well, actually, this life can ask a lot. You can have to give up a lot, everything, in fact. And the great monks in the past did give up everything. They gave their lives and went into the forest looking for seclusion, and some of them didn't survive. They would die of malaria or diarrhea or something like that. Not be able to get to the local village for alms food, too sick. They're putting their lives on the line. And to some degree, I realised that I was also putting my life on the line there. Bumping into big snakes, bumped into another big snake on the last trip. That surprised me more than I thought, actually. It's not the first time. A particularly large snake, particularly close to it. And it's quite shocking, despite the fact part of me stayed fairly cool through the whole thing. I realised I was at risk of my life. I never was intentionally looking for that. I'm not such an adventurous person to go out looking for that. There I was, and I was having to let go more than I really wanted to, you might say. I had to really work at that. And then, if I get sick, well, never mind. If I die, well, never mind. It's a good way to go. Go there with me. Go with my boots on. And not that I was looking for it. To be that kind of edge, but that's going to be really helpful, because the letting go can be so liberating. Lying there and looking at this tree outside my window that could fall on the roof. I don't know how much of a risk there was of that, but I saw it as a risk, as a real risk. And then through the practice, meditation practice, then able just to say, oh, well, if that's the way it is, then that's what happens, that's what happens, I'll be all right. This is a good thing to do, to live here, do this thing. It's a good thing to do, so it'd be a good way to go. So it kind of came to that. And then kind of coming back to the West, then the things seem a lot easier. Like when you go camping, you know, when I was a layman, you get used to a kind of comfortable existence, and then you go backpacking with your mate, and it's all, you know, you get flooded out, and you know, hungry, tired, cold, all the rest, and it's a degree of hardship to it, but when you get home again, everything seems lovely, you know, it's easy, peasy. There can be a bit of that, but also I can see that, you know, the danger of temptation, the opposite to the hardship. You see, well, a little bit of hardship maybe is not so bad, not so difficult in the mind as a lot of temptation. And I can let go into a bit of hardship easier than I can let go of temptation. To live an austere life can be a benefit. Peaceful in the mind rather than people would assume that living an austere life hardens the mind. You have to be tough, hard and tough. But actually, you know, you need to be soft. You know, to do that skillfully, you know, it's soft enough to let go. Pliable enough. You can make the mind pliable, soft, humble. I'm turning you to Mr. Tough Guy. It's very humbling not to get what you want. Just be, you know, in a group of living with poor people, eating poor people's food. A very beautiful, humbling experience. And not to have what I want, and what my diet I would prefer. It's lovely. To see how the very poor people out there, how much they can let go. They're living in very, very simpler huts than mine. I was ashamed, and sometimes felt ashamed to return to my nice concrete kuti with a tiled roof. You've seen these lay people living in these little wooden shacks with a corrugated iron roof right out there in the sun. I couldn't do it. I'm not really built for it. So I can forgive myself at some level. Why, you know, when I went to this monastery, the Thais responded so generously to build me a kuti, a concrete kuti with a tiled roof, so I could survive there. Difficult for me otherwise. Yeah, you also see how great they can be at letting go. Bad things happen, they lose the home, or they're hungry, and they can just let go and not have medicine, not have money for medicine, and so, oh well, never mind. That's life. So tremendous respect for those people. I think it's my right, I have the right to this or the right to that, demanding anything, doing their best to get what they can, and the government obviously also trying their best to provide what they can, and yet if it doesn't work out, then there's ability to let go. Lovely. So I offer that for your reflections.